Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Yesterday, the Padres won the game and their third series in a row. And while many would like to give credit to our very own Jesse Agler, he knows it's not exactly deserved.
No. Don't bow down, Bill. I can take no credit for that.
Today, the Padres begin a four-game set in Colorado, so Jesse and co-host Bill Center have a jam-packed program.
I feel like I've said this every single day so far this season, but Bill, we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Bill Center.
I've said it then, I'll say it again, Bill Center. We've got a lot to talk about. Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Padres are in Denver, Colorado. We are in San Diego, California. Advantage us, the AMR studio at Petco Park. Welcome to the show with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Game one of a four-game series between the Padres and the Rockies coming up at 5:40 Pacific Standard Time.
I want three of these.
You want three? You're getting greedy.
Right. No, not greedy at all.
Oh, okay.
I think this is a good ball club. I don't think the Rockies, they've been playing great early, but I don't think it's particularly a great ball club. You're going to contend for the division. You want three of these anytime you play four. You want two anytime you play three.
I agree with that. I like the whole mantra of win the series. That's what the team did
right.
In Chicago over the weekend. To me, though, I never feel particularly comfortable with these Coors series.
Right.
Like, if the Rockies were here and it was four, I'd say, yeah, man, let's go out and get three. I don't want to be accused of not having high hopes. I'll take two. After what happened in Chicago over the weekend, I'll take two in Colorado because so much weird stuff happens when you play there.
Absolutely. Colorado is a strange place. It used to bug me when I was covering the team on a day-to-day basis on the road. Now, I like Coors Field. I think Coors Field has a lot of nice things. It's beautiful. But is it baseball as we like it? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit wonky there. It gets a little bit crazy sometimes with the offense. And the humidor maybe helps as compared to the earlier era, but it's still a little bit different and a little bit out of control. And, of course, on top of all of that, your friend, the official scorer, that really gets you fired
up. That guy bugs the heck out of me. I can see him right now peering into his TV. What am I going to call here? Well, you know what you're going to call. You're going to make a homer call. Why even look?
You are not a fan of the official score at Coors Field.
And not at Coors Field.
Do we know for a fact it's the same guy this year?
I don't know because it's been
first game.
Right. And I haven't been there in a year and a half. So
I think last year it was the same guy.
It was the same guy last year.
Yeah. So Blooper can look into that and see if they have a new official score in Colorado. Now, of course, the official scoring is something that doesn't really affect the fan at home all that much. It's the difference maybe in a guy's ERA. It could be the difference in a hitting streak or a batting average. But for anybody watching, it really is not a huge deal at the end of the day, whether that's an error on Nolan Arenado or a base hit for somebody.
But if you're a Denver player, if you're a Rockies player.
A Rocky.
Okay. And you hit a ball to the second baseman, and it goes through, say it goes through Jerko's.
Yeah.
They're going to call that a hit up there. That impacts, like, a pitcher's earned run average if there's two or three runs scored. I just don't like it.
No, I know you don't. And I enjoy getting you talking about it.
Because I will really
How many times in this four-game series is something going to happen with the official score, you think, where we're going to end up talking about it?
I'll probably fire five or six Nerf balls at the TV sometime during this series.
Okay, so five or six Nerf balls, that's really the measuring stick.
Right, that's the measuring stick.
Of course, for this kind of thing. All right, hey, as I said, got a lot to talk about. This series against the Rockies, certainly, as it kicks off tonight at 5:40. I want to talk a lot about what took place in Chicago yesterday. Plenty of other nonsense around baseball to get to as well. We want you guys to be a part of the show. You can join us on Twitter. Just use the hashtag PadresSH. On your tweets, they can be questions or comments, and we'll get to those throughout the show. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour and chat with the fans. I think the main piece of news right here, right now, this moment, 4:04 p.m. Pacific time, is that Justin Upton is in the lineup for the Padres.
He's back
tonight.
In the lineup.
Yes.
So they said it was a mild quad strain, and, you know, you never know, but he's back in the lineup today. Big boost. By the way, do you know who is one of the hottest hitters in ever at Coors Field visiting?
Jed Jerko.
Matt Kemp.
Oh, yeah. He's got, like, crazy numbers in Denver.
Absolutely. I mean, his OPS, which is slugging percentage and on-base percentage, is over one.
That's always good. That's Barry Bonds in 2002 territory.
That's right. You could say that's Bonzian.
Yes, it's Bonzian. I like that. A bunch of guys in this Padre lineup tonight have good numbers.
Right.
Not only in Colorado, but also against tonight's starter, Jorge De La Rosa, who is, you know how for a lot of time or a lot of years people said you want to find the fountain of youth? Like that's the thing you heard about, that you always searched for the fountain of youth. Jorge De La Rosa has found, like, the fountain of Coors Field. He's the only guy that seems to have figured out how to effectively pitch there.
Right.
He's got a great win-loss record, a very, very impressive ERA, considering the environment. And Jorge De La Rosa, who will make his first start of the season tonight, has sort of figured it out. But the Padres have some guys that have really knocked him around in their careers.
You know, what he doesn't have a great breaking ball, but he's got the sinker on the fastball.
That's it.
Which is natural. And that, I mean, I'd take that at Coors over trying to throw a curve or a slider anytime.
Yes, absolutely. Kemp, Upton, and Jerko are combined 438 hitters against De La Rosa in their careers. 32 hits and 73 at-bats.
All right.
438 average for Kemp, Upton, and Jerko, all of whom are in the starting lineup today against Jorge De La Rosa. And you hit it on the head, by the way. The breaking ball does not break, essentially, in
right.
Denver. You have to throw it a lot harder because the air is so thin. And it's amazing to think that just in 90 feet you could have that much of a difference in something, but this is what it is. You know, that's part of the struggles for the pitchers. It's not just that the outfield is so gigantic and that the ball carries and travels. It's that if you're trying to throw a big curveball or a slider, it's a lot more difficult to effectively use those pitches
right.
there.
But if you have natural sink on your fastball, it works.
You'd love that if you're pitching in Colorado.
Right.
And interestingly enough, I was reading a thing this spring, up and down their system. Their minor league system, the Rockies, they are really emphasizing change-ups and sinkers,
right.
two-seam fastballs, trying to teach all the pitchers in the system to have at least one of those pitches as one of their main offerings because that if they ever get to the major leagues, they don't want a guy that's just relying on a slider or a curveball.
And they've signed some of those as free
yes.
agents, and it hasn't worked out. And I totally agree with them. Randy Jones would have been a great pitcher at Coors Field.
Yes.
Because he had the natural sink. And it does. I mean, the ball does sink even more there. Off the fastball, not off the curve.
Yeah. Ryan on Twitter says, tell me more about this fountain of Coors Field. I believe it is all very cheap beer. I believe that's it. You're just drinking that, and then you're able to pitch in Colorado. Dark Lighter says, who doesn't have good hitting numbers in Colorado, though? Well, there's no doubt. I mean, everybody's
right.
numbers are inflated there. We understand that. We get that. But when I tell you that these three guys, Kemp, Upton, and Jerko, combined to hit 438, that is significant, and it's a
right.
good sample size, too,
right.
you know, with the 70-plus at-bats for those three guys.
That's why, you know, the career stats for Galarraga, Walker, Helton, I always thought were skewed a little bit by the ballpark.
Absolutely, and you think about, I forget the number now, the number of batting titles won by Rockies. Like, the team has only been around since 1993, and all these guys have won batting titles, including Justin Morneau last year, and it's asterisk-worthy,
right.
or it's at least close to being asterisk-worthy, and it's not just your buddy the official score giving all those extra base hits on balls that go through the wickets. On the infield, it's the big outfield, right. it's all the extra space, and it's obviously the ball carrying.
It's not the home run that kills you in Colorado. It's the four straight singles or the three straight singles and the ball to the gap. That's what really beats you more than the home runs.
Big
I mean,
gap.
It's a big ballpark. They have the fences where they should be for what happens up there.
Right.
But that create such a big outfield that balls fall in.
Yes. I would say it is a great place for triples because of that. I'm tempted to make a bold prediction here.
Here we go.
Involving the single, double, triple home run in the single game, the cycle.
You're going for a cycle here?
I'm going to say it will happen this year and it will happen in Colorado for the Padres. Or in Arizona. It almost happened last year in Arizona.
Are you going to call the player?
With Tommy Medica. I'm not going to call the player because I don't have that amount of hubris. That suggests I would know that sort of thing. But with this lineup and the amount of pressure that's going to be on opposing starters this year, I'm going to go ahead and I'll do it. I'll be that guy. April 20th, I'm going to say you're going to get a Padres cycle this year in Colorado, maybe Arizona.
Right.
But I'm going to
Well,
I'm
it
gonna,
could be. And Arizona is a great – I mean, Arizona, it's a dome and everything, but Arizona is the second highest altitude
Correct.
In the major leagues.
Not
too.
Everybody realizes
right.
that.
Right, because you view Arizona as being a desert, but it is very high altitude.
Yes, very high altitude there. It's an interesting division when you start talking about atmospheric conditions. We got our marine layer here. You know how the ball doesn't love
right.
to carry, especially at night. You know, San Francisco, very much the same situation. L.A., a little bit more fair, but probably on that side of things. And then you swing all the way to the other end, and you've got Colorado and Arizona. all within the one division, the National League West.
You know who stopped four other Rockies from winning the batting title?
Who stopped it? The guy that they played out here?
Right.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing it in San Diego.
Right.
In a fair ballpark at
right.
the Q. And, yeah, while those guys were all hitting like 340,
right.
playing half their
four
games
Rockies
on the moon.
Four Rockies were runners up to him at different times.
That's a good one. I like that. But, yeah, just like an inordinate amount of batting titles won by Rockies hitters
right.
in their short history. All right, we kept mentioning the starting lineup for tonight. Obviously, the big one is that Justin Upton is in there. Let's take a look at the full Padre lineup for this game in Denver. It's brought to you by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Myers, Norris, Kemp, Upton, Middlebrooks, Jerko, Alonzo, Barmas, Despaigne. Barmas getting the start. I'm good with that. I get it. You know, you want him to be out there in a place that he called home for many, many years. Had some nice action yesterday. I like the idea of getting him a couple of games in a row.
Right.
Because it can't be easy, you know, for him to just kind of go out there and play once a week.
No, and Bud likes to do that. If he puts a bench player in there, he likes to get him in there for a couple days if he can. And like Nieves didn't wait a week to catch, came back 5 days later.
Yeah.
You know, caught Tyson Ross again. But Bud's a little bit different on that, just like our friend Joe Madden's a little bit different on hitting the pitcher eighth.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that because it reared its head a couple of times.
It didn't work out, did
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, yesterday that was an ugly one. Obviously, De La Rosa lefty, also another reason to have Barmas in
right.
there in place of Amarista. All right, so that's the way the Padres line up. We'll take a break, come back. I want to talk about yesterday's game against the Cubby Bears and the pitcher batting eighth and everything
the
else.
Cubby Bears.
You like that?
I like that.
Yeah, I like that one. Discuss that. Padres take 2 out of 3 in Chicago after a 5-2 win. Plenty to discuss from that one, including more umpire talk. And who wouldn't love more umpire talk?
Umpires.
Been a rough couple
they
of weeks.
They read things into this.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of weeks. All right, join us on Friday night for the season's first Beer Fest presented by Southwest. First pour at 5 p.m. So you come out to the park at the park, 5 o'clock, you get your ticket, you head out there, you get the beers, craft beers, local and national, and you stay, obviously, for the game against the Dodgers at 7:10. This is where you want to be on Friday night. Park at the Park 5. In the park at 7:10 for the Padres and the Dodgers, padres.com/party for more details and more information. The first Beer Fest of the year, padres.com/party. We will take a break, come back, talk about the game in Chicago. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. You are looking live at the Coronado Bridge.
Dead Man's Island in the background.
In the distance there.
Right. You can see it looks like a dead man lying on the top of the ocean.
See that. He's kind of just laying there on his back, floating
right.
along.
Right. When I was a kid, we were always fascinated by Dead Man's Island.
I can see why. That would be fascinating
right.
to a young child. Maybe there's a young man or girl watching now. Saying to themselves, boy, Bill, that is fascinating.
Yeah, right. North Coronado Island.
Yeah, welcome back inside the AMR studio here at Petco Park. Game one against the Rockies coming up at 5:40. Yesterday, a 5-2 win. And it's been fun for me, I think, this season, Bill, to sort of track every day who's doing the damage for the Padres. And the cool thing is it has been different guys or a different guy every night. And it doesn't seem to just be the one dude. It's a group of dudes.
Absolutely.
But it's a different group
right.
every day. And so yesterday it was Middlebrooks, who's done some damage this weekend. But it was also Venable. It was also Solarte. Those were the guys coming up with the big hits.
Right. And Venable had the home run last week.
Yeah.
The Sunday before last. Yes. And, I mean, Middlebrooks twice in this series, in the Chicago series, tied the game with a two-run homer.
Yes, he did tie the game with the two-run homer, and that's a nice feeling as well because you get to that point down 2-0, and it's already becoming trite and cliche where you're like, I'm not worried about it. Being down early, it doesn't bother you.
And this club has the ability not only to come back, but if they make a mistake, it's not the end of the world, which we saw an awful lot last year. If they gave up an unearned run or something, they were in serious trouble. If they gave up any run, this team has the ability to fight back through mistakes.
No question.
And they have the attitude to do that. That's one of the things I like.
Ooh.
They don't feel down.
You're saying it's a psychological thing, not just a physical thing.
I think it's the ability to get it done leads to the psychology of we can get it done.
I like that. There is a confidence that goes along with having done it, knowing you can do it again. Of course, the subplot of the Middlebrooks at bat and the home run is Buddy Black getting ejected two pitches prior to the home run, second inning, and he's getting tossed from the dugout.
I know. I think the umpire looked over there and just, you know, he's probably looking. There were a lot of guys chirping, according to Buddy. And I think he caught Buddy with his mouth open and say, you go. You know what an umpire doesn't want to do in that situation?
Throw out somebody who's in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
I appreciate
right.
that.
Right.
How about you not throw anybody out?
You could do that.
I mean, it's the second inning.
Right.
You know, he missed a couple for Cashner in the bottom of the first.
Then he calls.
And then the first pitch in the top of the second
right.
is one of those same pitches, and you call it a strike. Now, do I think that's a strike? I do. I thought that was a strike to Middlebrooks. But in the bottom of the first inning with Cashner pitching, Cash isn't getting that call.
Right.
And
wasn't.
That's why you got chirping from the dugout.
Right. And there was a lot of chirping from what Buddy said.
It still seemed a little bit thin-skinned.
Well, yes, but they're umpires.
You're saying by definition they're a little bit sometimes
I don't think you
side.
See a rhinoceros-type skin on umpires.
Yeah, no, a lot of times not. So Buddy gets tossed, you know, one pitch into the second inning of that game, and then two pitches later, Middlebrooks hits the home run. All of a sudden it's 2-2, and you feel much better about the thing. And Andrew Cashner didn't have the smoothest, you know, second, third, but he got settled in. 33 pitches in the first inning, and then he sort of he got into his groove there. And you can talk about the unearned runs, but look, he had to work. Even with the errors, he had to work hard after the first inning. But a great job of really kind of finding his groove after that.
I thought Cashner yesterday finally looked like Cashner. I thought the ball was moving. I thought he also had that poise, and he had the rhythm going that had been missing in the first couple. I have got a little bit of a theory on that.
On Cash. Okay.
I think that what was going on in spring training caught up with him when the season started a little bit.
It's certainly possible.
Right. And, I mean, his head was in two places all during spring training with his mother struggling. Well, you get to the regular season, and you're facing a regular lineup, and it becomes a little more I really believe that he's not going to say that, but I think what happened in the spring caught up with him a little bit.
Certainly would be understandable, and you could never blame a guy for
right.
you know finding himself in that spot.
Pitchers have a steady buildup in spring training, and he didn't have that steady buildup. He was running back and forth, coming out here, throwing four or five innings, and then heading back to Houston to be with his mom. Well, pitchers go through a natural progression of getting their game face and everything else on, including psychologically ready to work, and I just don't think he was quite ready when the season opened.
Very possible. Certainly very possible. Speaking of pitchers getting stretched out and back to work, by the way, Ian Kennedy threw today, rehab assignment at extended spring training in Peoria, Arizona. The report back is that Ian Kennedy threw six innings and 81 pitches. So that's what we got. This is a stretching out period now for Ian Kennedy as much as it is coming back from the pull.
Right, because he had just before the start of the season, he had two outings where he threw very little. And, one outing before the season and then the outing when he got hurt. So he was really down on length. It'll be I'm interested to see what happens today with Despaigne and then whether or not they decide to send Kennedy out for a rehab start or bring him back and put him right back in the rotation.
How much does what Despaigne do today have to do with that?
Well, I think if he's really sharp today in Colorado, that they'll let him have one more start and have Kennedy go through the natural progression of having a rehab start. I mean, now if Despaigne struggles today, then you bring back Kennedy and say, okay, we want to get our guy back in.
We'll
there.
See. It was nice to see Ian Kennedy get stretched out to 81
yes,
pitches
81
today.
81 pitches, I think, is the most important stat. There.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just the fact that he was able to go do
right.
that and stretch the arm out and continue to get himself ready for a full major league start.
And to get up and down for six innings.
Yes.
Because you never know quite what a pitcher's going to be like one inning to the next, especially in that situation.
Very good point. All right, I want to pull up one tweet here. It's from our buddy Darklighter from Gaslamp Ball, who was nice to see him the other day, by the way. He came by. I said earlier that the cycle, I'm calling it, for this year.
Right. His tweets are very good, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad you like them. Do you like this one? He says, Jesse, just doom the Padres to another 10 years without a cycle. Bernie Wilson is off the hook for the jinx watch. I have confidence. I'm not scared off by this, Rich. I'm not. I feel good about the Padres getting a cycle this season, either in Colorado or Arizona. I'm not going to try and get, you know, to whatever and say it's going to happen tonight against De La Rosa. I just think that with this lineup, knowing the way the ball, you know, carries and the spacious outfield in Colorado, I could see it happening this season in Denver or Arizona, and I feel good about saying it, and I don't feel like I jinxed it.
Knowing that my future might be on the line here.
Uh-oh.
I'm sort of going with Darklighter.
Fine. Fine.
I'm just
fine.
I'm just
you can go sit over
yeah,
there with
exactly.
Darklighter.
Here
then.
I go.
Yeah.
I just Darklighter, you yeah. just got me fired.
I'm so happy for the both of you. That's nice. We can send you to a farm up in North County and you can live together and pick flowers. All right, we'll take a break, come back, talk about the bullpen from yesterday's game. Also want to talk about Jed Jerko and sort of where he's at, obviously in the starting lineup again, excuse me, but also the two hits yesterday. That was very encouraging to see out of Jed. Now's the time to check out one of the newest seating areas at Petco Park. It's The Point, presented by Ballast Point. This new seating area in left field features in-seat waiter service with food from the patio and beer from Ballast Point with spectacular views of the field. Get your tickets at Padres.com. Really cool way to check out the game, The Point, presented by Ballast Point. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the bullpen in yesterday's game. Hats off, Sean Kelly, Brandon Maurer, getting it done. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, continues right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres and the Rockies coming up. First pitch about an hour and 15 minutes from now. Downtown Denver, the Lodo neighborhood of Denver.
I like where that ballpark is.
They've done a really nice job. It reminds me of here.
Right.
Yeah. And,
but the ballpark there sort of moved into the neighborhood.
As here, opposed to sprouting the neighborhood?
The neighborhood moved to the ballpark.
Yeah.
And but I really like the look of the area around Coors Field.
They've cleaned it up a lot.
Right.
There's stuff going on. You can do things there before or after a game, good bars and restaurants. It is, as you said, a gorgeous facility, a great area, a beautiful scene for baseball. It's the actual baseball that is a struggle there.
Right. Yes. Everything about, when you look out at the seats, it's a beautiful ballpark. I love that they've got the plaza that you can walk all the way around the ballpark. There are a lot of things I love about Coors Field. It'd be a lot better if it were somewhere else.
Understandable. Hey, how about hats off? Brandon Maurer and Sean Kelly yesterday.
Absolutely.
Coming out, two three-run game. Or a one- or a three-run game, I guess, for each of them, and really taking care of business out of the pen.
And two guys that have really been struggling. They were Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 1A of pitchers who were struggling at the start of the year. Great to see Sean Kelly's inning. I thought that was
very encouraging.
Yes, very encouraging.
And then Benoit gets the first two, and you're thinking this is going to be easy peasy. And then, of course, it's a little chopper over his head from DeNorfia, and then Dexter Fowler with a bunt single, and all of a sudden the tying runs at the plate, and you're like, uh-oh.
Right.
But he did it. He was fine. No big deal.
DeNorfia is the master of the chopped hit. I mean, I don't know if it was before you were here, but he had an inside the ballpark home run on a chopped ball in front of the plate that took a high hop over the third baseman and just kept rolling, rolling, rolling.
Just kept rolling. He's got right. that swing. He kind of swings down the ball.
He sort
a
of
bit.
Swings down a little bit. Yeah. He is the absolute master of the chopped hit.
Tremendous human being as well.
Oh, great
and,
guy.
That's
great
one of those guy. Guys. It's really easy to wish him the best.
Yeah, and one of the guys that when he left, you really hated to see go. Not so much as a player, but just an all-around good guy.
No question about that. So nice job by the bullpen yesterday getting it done. Thayer unavailable, Kimbrel unavailable, and you see Maurer, Kelly, Benoit,
right.
7-8-9, you know, in a tight game able to close it out.
Benoit's the only pitcher in the major leagues with a hand in four decisions.
There you go. He's 3-1.
Three wins and a save.
Oh, three games and a save. I'm sorry. You're right. He doesn't have a loss. It's another example of the win-loss thing for pitchers being completely nonsense.
Right.
We talk about it all the time. I'll say it tonight on the pregame show. Or Dushan Mer Despaigne, 2-0, whatever. Like, it's just something you say and you talk about. But you have to examine those things more closely.
Right.
Because Joaquin Benoit having three wins tells you very little other than the Padres scored some runs after he pitched an inning.
Right. You know what that's called?
The vulture.
Vulture.
Yeah, he's
exactly.
A vulture. But good for him. Hey, you want the wins coming for the Padres, and if they go to Benoit, no problem by me. The Lester play with Barmas throwing the glove, am I an old curmudgeon, or am I not? I'm not, like, excited by that. I feel like I've seen it enough times now where it's like, oh, yeah, good play.
Okay.
But you almost expect him to do it. I don't know. I thought people were really freaking out over this. I thought the great play was by Rizzo.
To put his glove down.
Yeah, that impressed me because I feel like I hadn't seen that before. He saw the whole thing develop, but people were acting as if this had never happened before. And I know it doesn't happen all the time, but I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old. I was like, yeah, no, that's what you're supposed to do when the glove gets stuck in the webbing.
You know,
or the ball.
There used to be a rule in baseball that if your glove left your hand, if you threw your glove, it was a triple.
Really?
Yes. And I saw it one time in an out. I didn't know the rule, but an old minor league Padre game where Rocky Colavito was chasing a ball and his glove came off. He said it was unintentional, but it looked like it was pretty well thrown and it knocked the ball down. And it was a triple.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
There must be a difference to. There must be a different as to if you do it in a field or if you're tossing it to another player. But I know if you used to throw your glove at the ball that it was a triple.
All right, we'll look more into that, okay?
I want
a little bit more information on that one. All right, let's pop up a couple of tweets. Blooper fires up the Twitter machine. The first one comes from Padres Haiku, who always says things very creatively. No spring training starts. Is Solarte an option to play at shortstop? We saw what, once last year?
Yes. It was not pretty.
Yeah.
He's not a shortstop. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Solarte can do a lot of things. He is not a shortstop.
Now, there's a difference between not being something and being capable of doing it. He's not a first baseman.
No.
But we've seen
him
play.
He's capable.
You don't think he's even capable of shortstop?
No.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the range. He doesn't have the quick first step. And he's not a shortstop.
I agree. Just after seeing it, you know, when we have, and I think
the one time.
Yeah, the one time. But, you know, he hurt himself. It was like, it was a rough night.
Right.
It was a rough night, I remember, last year.
And he really struggled all the way around.
He did. And if they thought it was even remotely plausible, like, we would have seen it in spring training. He sort of brings that up that we didn't. You know, we saw him all over the place.
Right.
But we never saw him there. And I think that shows that they're not even going to mess with
it. That's a great point, Jesse. The fact that you didn't even see him at shortstop proves that he's not a shortstop.
All right.
And I hate to say that the game that we saw him at shortstop last year was that bad, but it was really that bad.
It was a challenge for him.
Right.
It was definitely a challenge.
It was a struggle for him.
All right. One more on Twitter. People love the out-of-position stuff, I guess. Our buddy Cody, SoCal Cody, wants to know if we'll ever see Will Myers at first base. I guess he is not counting the five-man infield on Saturday in Chicago.
Is that him being at first base?
I will predict yes on this
one. Yes, I think we will. Sooner or later, I mean, I think that, one, you want to get him over there just to make sure that if something happens to Alonso, he's the natural choice to go to first. As a regular, Solarte can do it on a short-term basis. But if something were to happen to Alonso, who certainly has a little bit of a history with injuries, that he would be the natural person to go to first base, particularly with Melvin Upton waiting in the wings to play the outfield.
There you go.
It's going to get interesting.
It's going to get very interesting, and you just hope that everybody is healthy and everybody is productive and that they then have some tough decisions to make.
Right.
That would be the best case scenario.
Like they did at the end of spring training. They had hard decisions.
Yeah, and then they went out and they traded for Craig Kimbrell.
Right.
Amazing how that happened. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to get to some more Twitter questions. Also, though, I think we're going to dust off Bill the Magnificent. We haven't done it yet in 2015.
No, we haven't.
So if you're new to the show, usually when we get questions like that last one from Cody, I say, I don't love the crystal ball type questions. You know, so do you think this will happen? Do you think that could happen? Those sorts of things. We usually like better conversation starters than that. But every once in a while, Bill puts on his fortune teller's hat.
Uh-oh.
And we've got the special creepy music. And Bill the Magnificent appears.
And a special creepy hat.
Yeah, and you tell fortunes, baseball fortunes. So you can send those in on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. Bill will put on his creepy hat, and he will tell Padre fortunes. So send those in, and maybe we'll get to that in a little bit. The unveiling of Bill the Magnificent here in 2015. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Again, send your questions, your fortune-telling questions in for Bill the Magnificent. We'll get to a couple of those as we continue. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show with Bill Center. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres, a 5-2 win over Chicago yesterday. Wrigley Field was the site. Keep winning series, man. Take two out of three.
If you take two out of three, the record at the end of the season is going to look really, really good.
My math would say your winning percentage is going to be .667 if you take two out of every three games.
And
that's going to get you into the postseason.
That gets you the division title, too.
There you go. Now a four-game series against the Colorado Rockies. That throws the math off a little bit because in order to win this series, you would like the .750 winning percentage.
I don't want a split.
Okay. You want three out of four. I'll take a split.
In this division, and I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Giants, but you've got to beat up on the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Giants are in trouble.
I know they are.
Giants are in deep doo-doo.
That was a great stat you had, and they're 1-1 since that stat, so I'm wondering how many 4-10 teams have advanced to the
postseason. Yeah, we'll have to look into that for you. We were just talking a little bit about Will Myers and first base and everything like that. There was a lot of stuff written today, and I thought it was interesting. About Will Myers, the leadoff man, not Will Myers, the outfielder or the first baseman or anything like that. And obviously he is not a prototypical leadoff hitter.
Right.
But I like, and I was kind of fascinated by the fact that the Padres and Buddy Black and Mark Kotze and Alonzo Powell are not asking him to be a prototypical leadoff hitter. And what I mean is they're letting him be himself even though he's batting first in the order.
Right.
They're not asking him to be the Ricky Henderson and to take a couple and to foul a couple off and to really make the pitcher expose his repertoire at the start of the game. He's a first pitch swinger. He's an aggressive guy. And they're saying, be you. Don't worry about the fact that you're first in the order. Just go out there and do your thing.
Now, yes. Would I like to see him walk a couple more times than he has, which is 0-13 games? Absolutely. But he does an awful lot of damage on that first pitch.
Yes.
And he's got a great – I mean, he is aggressive. And the Padres, Bud's absolutely right on that. You don't want to change players to fit the spot. If you put a player in a spot, even though he might not match up, you got to let him do his thing. You can't be changing – what a player does naturally to fit a position.
You got to be who you are.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things where the Padres in the last couple of years, they didn't have. They had guys who should be hitting sixth or seventh in the order who were pushed up to the fourth or fifth spot.
Yes.
Because they didn't have anybody else to do it.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. We mentioned the Giants a couple of moments ago. Jake Peavy yesterday placed on the disabled list. Been a really rough start to the season for the former Padre in San Francisco. So he's headed to the DL with a back injury. You're talking about San Francisco trying to dig themselves out. You know, you kind of know what the Dodgers are. But you look at this division, man. There are opportunities for the Padres.
Right.
But also these teams are probably better than maybe a lot of people expected them to be at the start of the season. I don't know. I look at the Colorado lineup tonight, and I know the pitching is going to be their issue. Pitching is going to be their issue. It's not going to be the hitting, but it is a very, very formidable 1-8.
Right. It is a good hitting lineup. And in Colorado, you're going to get in high-scoring games. And I think the Padres have the perfect type of lineup to match them at Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, I used to
– slugfest.
Right. But in Colorado, the Padres didn't really match up well when they went there because the Colorado lineup hitting-wise was much stronger than the Padres. I don't feel that way anymore.
Okay.
These games no longer scare me in Colorado.
All right. I like that. You can outslug them.
Right.
Okay. I'll get on board with that. Sign me up.
Right.
Bill.
Get in a fist fight with them.
All right. Like the A's and the Royals?
Right. Well,
not that kind of fist
that
fight.
That was really a fist fight.
Yeah, no, that's something different altogether. All right, we got a bunch of good questions coming in for Bill the Magnificent. Send yours in. When we come back, Bill will do some fortune telling. You send them in on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH. That's kind of the point. Also, you get to send in on the chat at padres.com/social hour. Bill the Magnificent, you will tell Padre fortunes after the break. We will ask you a question, and you will tell the fortune, and that'll be something really exciting. I look forward to that. By the way, did you see the Cardinals and the Reds last night? Sunday night game. Sunday night game. So extra long commercial breaks. 2 hours and 2 minutes. 2:02.
Right. Now, I was out doing something. I turned on the TV and it was gone. I'm thinking, well, what happened to this game? And I turned it right back off. I didn't realize that it was over in 2 hours and 2 minutes.
That's incredible.
Right.
That's incredible. And credit to the pitchers. You know, Wainwright's going.
Right.
It was really, really good pitching. That's what it was. But, you know, there was an article that I saw, and the home plate umpire was asked after the game, like, what did you see? And he's like, guys were getting in when there's still 20 seconds on that clock, which is the rule, and they were ready to go. There was no dilly-dallying around, and obviously you had a lot of early contact. I think the Reds pitcher, it was a complete game loss, and he threw like 80-something pitches. So the Cardinals were, you know, being pretty aggressive at the plate. But, boy, 2 hours and 2 minutes. That'll bring the average down.
That's old school.
That is old. That's Randy Jones stuff right there.
Right.
2:02 on a Sunday night.
That's back in the early 70s.
That's crazy.
We used to see that.
Crazy, crazy. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and Bill the Magnificent will join us next, and he will tell us our Padre fortunes. Remember that every Sunday at Petco Park is Family Day featuring Kids Fest with autograph signings for current players, bounce houses, face painters. It's fun for kids of all ages. The next one is this Sunday, the 26th. Get your tickets, Padres.com. Padres and Dodgers Kids Fest on Sunday. Take a break, come back. Bill the Magnificent right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Back at the AMR studios at Petco Park, we're going to do something a little bit special now.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to put Bill, let's put him on the Cholula hot seat, right? We'll put Bill on the Cholula hot seat. Of course, it's not just Bill Center anymore.
You wouldn't do this to Randy Jones and Kurt Pavakwa.
No, of course not. They had accomplished major league careers.
Right. So I got the doofus factor.
Yeah, so you've got – that's what you bring to the table, Bill. That's
Thank
the
you.
Unique skill set that you bring. So we did this a couple of times last year.
We did.
Bill the Magnificent, you put on your magical hat
right.
that gives you fortune-telling powers, and we bring up questions from fans, and then you tell Padre fortunes. It's pretty straightforward. But the power is in the hat. That's why you've got – some people would say, why is Bill wearing that ridiculous-looking hat? And I would say,
because
whoa.
Because it was the only hat they could find.
No, it's because it's got magic powers. It's a yellow Padres floppy hat with a brown
with
SD
a brown.
In the front.
Padres
and,
brown.
And the green underbill, which you flip up. I like that. That's styling. That's styling. So we have put Bill on the Cholula hot seat as we get ready to ask questions to Bill the Magnificent. Are
I
you prepared?
Like Gorton Fisherman.
Yeah, that's not bad, the way it flips up.
Right.
All right. All right, let's go here. We've got the Bill the Magnificent music. We've got the tweets for Bill the Magnificent. And the first one comes from Tim, Bill. Tim wants to know which AAA starting pitcher do you think we'll see first this season? Is it a given that it's Robbie Erlin?
It's not given that it's Robbie Erlin at all. I would say he's going to be in AAA soon. I'm going to say Josh Johnson.
Oh, you went a little bit.
Okay.
Ah.
He's going to be there in a rehab assignment. I'm going to go with Josh Johnson.
Okay. You didn't necessarily answer his question in the most straightforward manner, but I like what you did there. Next question for Bill the Magnificent. Comes from East Village Times at Homegrown Padres. Should the Padres consider re-signing Cashner or Ross long-term? Now might be the time to get that good discounted rate.
I think they would like to sign them both. I think there's some reluctance on Cashner's part to sign a long-term contract right now. I think Tyson Ross would be the number one target.
Okay. Next one. Speaking of music, this comes from Bobby, the organist at Petco Park, for our buddy Bobby Cressy. Do you think Corey Lubke will be in the Padres' bullpen in the second half of the season, Bill the Magnificent?
I think that if they need a long man, he's the long man the second half of the season. I think a lot has to do with injuries and how it shakes out. But if he comes back this year, it will not be as a starter. It will be as a reliever.
He'll
be in the bullpen.
The thing I love about Bill the Magnificent is he doesn't hesitate. You just go. because you've got the magical powers,
the magical hat.
You see the future, and you're able to answer in a very straightforward manner.
And also because Buddy in spring training said that if Lukey's back this year, it's going to be in the bullpen.
Fine. But you remember that because of the magic hat.
Right, okay.
Oh,
we're
winning Emmys today.
All right, next.
Betty is up next, I believe, and Betty wants to know if Kevin Quackenbush will ever get called up to stay.
At some point this season, yes, I think he will. And, you know, right now their bullpen's nine deep. You've got Quackenbush and you've got Vincent. I'm a little bit surprised that they maybe didn't call up another reliever for this series. And I thought it might be Quackenbush because Vincent pitched yesterday in El Paso, or actually in Tacoma. But, yes, we're going to see Quackenbush. To stay, I don't know, because he's got the shuttle. He's got options. He can go back and forth.
He's got a lot of miles.
Kelly, you can't option him out. Maurer, you can, but there's only so many guys that you can move back and forth.
All right. Baby Dave is up next. He wants to know, Bill, the Magnificent, which National League West team will nosedive the hardest this season. He also wants to know where you're going to celebrate the Padres' playoff berth.
Right here, Petco Park.
I like that.
I mean, that's where I'll celebrate it. Well, off the early season results and the injuries that they've had, I got to think that the Giants are in some significant trouble. I think they really are. I don't like, outside of Bumgarner, I don't really like their rotation right now.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I got one more for you. It comes from the chat.
Okay,
at Padres.com/social hour. Skull Candy says, is a move for a left-handed reliever a probability before the deadline? Making another move for another left-handed reliever. I don't know if he means a trade or a call-up or whatever, but do you think they will add a different left-handed reliever? We've got Garces and Rierick out there now. Do you see a different left-handed reliever, Bill the Magnificent?
I would see no left-handed reliever before a move for a left-handed reliever. I think Buddy wants to have the seven. He wants the bullpen to be as good as it can be, not thinking lefty or righty. I sort of agree with him. I don't necessarily buy into the thing that you've got to have a left-handed situational reliever. And right now, I'm not quite sure Garces or Rierick will be here all season.
Okay. That's Bill the Magnificent. Nice job.
Thank you.
The music is so creepy.
It's very creepy. It's ringing in my ears.
Yeah, we can get rid of that now. All right, Bill, you handled yourself excellently. Bill the Magnificent put on his fortune teller hat, and he has just told us Padre fortunes. That was Bill the Magnificent on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. It's not often that you get a real fortune teller on the Cholula hot seat.
You're stretching this segment out, so I have to keep wearing the hat.
I could easily go to break now.
Yes.
And then you could take off the hat. And then when we come back to wrap up the show, you wouldn't have to wear the hat.
Right.
But you're right. If I keep talking now.
Right.
Just a little bit more at a time. Another 30 seconds here. Another 40 seconds there.
Makes me look dumber and dumber.
Yeah, you've got to stay with the hat. Blooper, let's keep that shot up for a couple of moments. Let's just. Here's the beautiful thing about the hat is you've got. I don't know if you're Bochy sized.
I am.
Oh, you
I
are.
Got a big head.
Yeah. No, I mean you're in the ballpark,
right.
And that hat looks like it's made for a child.
Right.
And so it really, but I think that's where the magic powers come from. It's such a tight fit.
Squeezing words out.
Yeah, exactly. Squeezing the future out of your brain. I like that. All right, join the Padres on this Sunday, April 26th, as we honor the U.S. Marine Corps at Petco Park. It's U.S. Marine Corps Appreciation Day, presented by USAA. With a valid ID, all active military get 50% off tickets for Sunday's game. Just check out Padres.com/military. Marine Corps Appreciation Day this Sunday, 50% off tickets with a valid ID, Padres.com/military. We'll wrap up Padres Social Hour on this Monday right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, wrapping up this Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. It's a Monday, first of four against the Rockies coming up at 5:40 this evening with Bill Center. Not Bill the Magnificent, you're just regular Bill Center.
But can I say one thing?
Of course.
I we are doing more of the questions and the from the tweets and the chats this year, and I really I like that.
Okay, you like the interaction.
I love the interaction with the fans. I love the,
you know what I'm waiting for?
I love the Friday afternoon chats that we have.
Padres.com/chat. Yes. Fridays at noon with Bill Center. You can ask him all of your questions.
I actually really like talking to fans.
The chat has been awesome online today, by the way. Pretty active, those guys asking their questions. We'll get to as many of those as we can every day. But remember, you can just talk amongst yourselves and do that whole thing as well. Let me start the following statement by prefacing it with this. I really like Joe Maddon.
Yes.
Really like Joe Maddon. Pitcher hitting eighth. Little quirky, little different. Tony La Russa, you know, messed around with it. I read a really good breakdown of it last week. The mathematics show, if I interpreted it correctly, that you are probably helping yourself by doing it.
Right.
By hitting the pitcher eighth. Probably. Over the course of a season, maybe a run here or there. So nothing significant. It's not necessarily a reason to do it, but you're certainly not hurting yourself mathematically if you did it over the course of the entire season. Now, all that said, boy, did it burn Joe Maddon a couple of times yesterday.
Twice. Yeah. And now he's going to have some really good results to have it swing back the other way, because it burned him bad twice.
Yeah, twice John Lester comes up with the bases loaded.
And he got stuck both times. There was nothing he could do. I mean, could you put in a pinch hitter? Yeah, but you can't get Lester out of the game that quick.
No, not early.
Right, and it burned him. Yeah, totally.
It absolutely did. All right, hey, that was a fun show. Hopefully we got a fun game coming up tonight. Despaigne and De La Rosa, first of four in Denver. Enjoy the ball game. We'll be back with more Padres Social Hour tomorrow at 4 o'clock. We hope you'll join us. Thanks to Bill the Magnificent for stopping by. Have a great night.